You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, having fun answering your questions today with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist. And together we answer your questions on a weekly basis. Send questions to questions@drhoffman.net. All right, what's in the mailbag?
All right, from Janet. Thank you for your great podcasts. My husband has been taking red yeast rice. I've read that it may contain some statin. And most of the ones I've seen do contain some of it. What are your thoughts about red yeast rice? Is there a particular brand that doesn't have any statin in it?
Okay. This is really an interesting question because how they developed statins was based on the discovery that, Peking duck or Beijing duck, if correctly pronounced, is red.
Peking duck, yes.
Right? It's red.
Yeah.
You ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
And that particular seasoning is red yeast. And it was discovered that red yeast had this interesting property of lowering cholesterol. And they studied it. And they synthesized the first cholesterol-lowering drug, which is called Mevacor, or lovastatin.
Mm-hmm.
And the statin that is present in red yeast rice is basically identical to that, okay? And so it is a statin, but it is a, quote, natural statin. And so I question the whole rationale for using red yeast rice, because either you're going to be on a statin or you're not going to be on a statin.
Right, it's Mevacor.
Yeah. So what some people prefer is they prefer to get their statin from a health food store or from Fullscript, you know, as opposed to subsidizing the pharmaceutical industry. And admittedly, it is a weaker statin, so it won't lower cholesterol as effectively, but also you may be less prone to side effects. So a lot of people who have side effects with, say, Lipitor or Crestor, they go on red yeast rice, and they don't have they don't have those leg pain, muscle aches, the side effects. Is that a good thing? Well, it just means that you're taking a lower dose of a statin. There are some concerns about potentially contaminants and harmful byproducts of the fermentation process by which they make red yeast rice. That has been reported. And although I think that the reputable manufacturers that list red yeast rice on Fullscript are very scrupulous about avoiding contaminants. So you're going to get, and people can lower their cholesterol like 5%, 10%. I rarely see 20%, but they can lower it a little bit. But then the question is, do you really need to lower your cholesterol? And I got to say that there's a place for statins. But not everybody who has high cholesterol must lower their cholesterol, because there is a type of person, and I think I'm one of them, I'd like to think I'm one of them, who has technically a high LDL. My LDL at last check was 143, which is above the limit of 130 that they want you to be on a statin. My cholesterol was 240. My HDL good cholesterol was 93 this time. And my triglycerides were negligible. I think they were like 47.
Perfect. You know,
so looking at all the other risk factors, my LP little a was really low. My homocysteine was good. So these other
LP little a is a much bigger risk factor.
It can right? be. It can be. And it's ignored. It's often ignored. So the point being, and then, you know, the other question is, are you otherwise metabolically healthy? And then finally, let's do some imaging. You know, I just plead with people who are about to go on statins, find out if you have coronary artery calcification. Because if you don't, there's not a strong rationale for being on statins. Okay?
Yes.
You know, unless you're 18 years old and you have a cholesterol of 600, and maybe, okay, you don't have calcification yet at 18, but maybe you want to live for another, you know, 80 years. Yeah, maybe that's a case where preventively they should put somebody on a statin. So that's, so I think there's kind of an irrationality about taking red yeast rice, in my opinion.
Because there
are patients who I just yell at. I said, you must go on a statin. You're just in a fool's paradise if you think that you can ignore the high risk category you're in, and you have to do some things. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing all the other things, the exercise, taking
proper diet,
chiolic aged garlic extract, fish oil, vitamin K2, olive leaf magnesium. Extract, magnesium. Yeah, mm-hmm. We could just enumerate like a
we
dozen things,
yep.
You know, grapeseed or pycnogenol for arterial health.
Yeah.
I think you wrote something about the glycocalyx recently, you know, which is also another popular approach to prevention. It's a new concept in nutritional cardiovascular prevention, but it involves using nutrients that nourish the lining of the artery. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, the glycocalyx, it's the so-called, the soft where the area where the softer plaque may occur, but you want to keep that healthy, and we keep that healthy with the proper diet, exercise, proper sleep, sunshine, pure water, all of that. So keeping the health of the glycocalyx in front of mind when it comes to cardiovascular disease. And it was a Dr. Wolf. I remember seeing him at a medical conference many years ago, and I was quite impressed. Because his approach to any cardiovascular disease was more of a Paleolithic diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the proper human diet that we're meant to be following for the most part, and definitely for most people, if not all people.
And there are supplements also that address that. There's a product from Orthomolecular, one of the good companies there.
Yes.
It's a glycocalyx supplement. And
I think a Dr. Mark Houston...
Yeah.
Was also a developer of one of those particular products. I forget the name of it offhand, but it's the proper care and feeding of the glycocalyx.
It's got hyaluronic acid, which is good for collagen. You know, we know that the connective tissue is requires maintenance with hyaluronic acid. It's got a seaweed extract, a chondroitin sulfate, which is good for the joints, but maybe also good for the structures that line the arteries.
You know what, Dr. Hoffman, chondroitin sulfate, I believe back in the day, the first time I read about chondroitin as a prevention for coronary artery disease was a Dr. Andrew Saul.
Wow.
Who recently passed away.
Wow. One of the original orthomolecular doctors, an orthomolecular physician.
Yeah. I believe it was him. I really think it was him. It's like, wow, look at the benefits of chondroitin.
Yep.
Anyway.
So I'm covered. I take glucosamine with chondroitin.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I get collagen. Although you can take collagen if you want, and collagen is good for the skin. It's good for the hair, but it stands to reason it's good for all your tissue, including the lining of your arteries. So All right. So
I also want to warn Janet and her husband. You know, those of you who are deciding to take red yeast rice on your own, not supervised, haven't told your doctor, because it's a statin, you still need to have your liver function looked at from time to time.
Yep.
To make sure you're not damaging your liver.
I think because it's so weak, I don't see that happening a lot, but it's theoretically a concern. I agree with you. And then, of course, because it's a statin, you must take coenzyme Q10 with it.
Yes.
Because because statins obliterate the pathway by which the body synthesizes coenzyme Q10. It's a necessary accoutrement to taking a statin. So all our patients on statins must take coenzyme Q10. I mean, it's a good idea anyway, but...
Now, I just want to bring to the attention of the audience what Dr. Hoffman just said. Statins obliterate your coenzyme Q10.
Yeah.
Obliterate. And it's true. Why are we putting these things in our bodies? Anyway, all right. I'm off my soapbox. Okay.
Yeah, actually, you know, actually one of the drug companies filed a patent for a form of a statin combined with coenzyme Q10. And that would have been a good idea. And I think that they deep sixed the idea because they were afraid it's an example of filing a patent to block an application. In other words, holding a patent that they never executed on enables them to checkmate that space and not allow competitors to come up with anything. And therefore, this is an example of when you're on a statin, and there are tens of millions of Americans on statins, and this is a PSA, public service announcement. If you're on a statin, whatever you do, please take coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol because you have to replete this essential compound for your mitochondria.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence either. Since the advent of statins, what was it, Dr. Hoffman, in the 1980s? Since the 1980s, there's been an increase in the trend in heart failure.
Heart failure, yeah.
Which the late Dr. Steven Sinatra used to define as not enough energy in the heart.
Yep.
Which is a lack of CoQ10.
And we've made strides in preventing heart attacks. But there's not been comparable progress in addressing congestive heart failure. This is like a big problem that continues. Let's proceed with questions. Thanks for your question, Janet.
Let's see here. This is from Karen. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. How do you know if your GERD, your gastroesophageal reflux disease, is from too much acid or too little? And once you know that, how do you treat each one? Well, if your GERD is because of too much acid, you have to stop eating the foods that are causing all that acid indigestion, number one, right? You don't want to eat that chili dog, for example. If it's too little acid, try taking some digestive enzymes with the hydrochloric acid in it with your meals and see if the GERD does not go away. That could be helpful.
So, I mean, really, there's kind of a test, if your GERD is due to inadequate acid and you take an acid blocker like Nexium or Protonix and you're not better, you might rethink that and say, maybe I have the subtype of this where there's not enough acid, stop that medication and try using betaine hydrochloride supplements before meals and see if that alleviates. I think the originator of that idea was Dr. Jonathan Wright. And he wrote a book, must have been in the 1970s, about this phenomenon of what's called hypochlorhydria. And there's a lot of people who have, call it what we used to call it, heartburn. And it is not remediable with the traditional approach, which is acid blockade. It actually requires acid supplementation to help you better digest your food because the food sticks in your craw. It just doesn't get processed.
The other thing is we need to make sure that we're up on our minerals and things like zinc. We need zinc and salt for the parietal cells and the gastric mucosa to function the right way. Mm-hmm. So anyone having any kind of digestive issue, particularly in the stomach, which is where the GERD is happening or starting, make sure you're getting enough of your minerals, getting enough salt. Eat a steak, put some salt on it, eat it. You get your zinc, you get your salt, eat in a better fashion, avoid the things you shouldn't have. And that could take you a whole long way in feeling better.
a little refinement on that is people in particular who say, oh, I can't eat meat. I just, oh, that's often a sign of hypochlorhydria, right? Because, your experience at the Atkins Center, because you were actually originally trained under the tutelage of the late Dr. Atkins.
Yeah.
The remarkable thing about many of the people who went on his diet, which was meat heavy, they had a very, very significant alleviation of their GERD, paradoxically, because they think, oh my God, all that heavy food. With the exception of people who have inadequate hydrochloric acid, because those are the people who can't break down that heavy protein. And because that's your protein digestion requires acidity. And so that's a tell. That's a tell.
Absolutely. It's a big tell. It's a big tell. And if you were doing the Atkins diet and then you cheated and you had a piece of bread, anybody who had heartburn in the past,
come back.
That heartburn came roaring back.
Because it was more roaring. About fermentation of carbohydrates. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
All of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Karen. Dr. Hoffman, I think this is a good time to pause for a break
from
one of our sponsors.
Great. Okay. Let's hear it. Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out this comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association, Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. It's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but as an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the exclusive discount. The ANA believes personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the Harness the Power of Personalized Nutrition course. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors, because they are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
Okay, we've got an email from Caroline. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I recently listened to your interview podcast with Dr. Jane Jansen. At some point in the interview, she said that plaque is hard to reverse, but it is possible. And she recommended aged garlic and other supplements as well might help to decrease plaque. Well, here's my question. My 72-year-old sister was just recommended to begin a statin. We're on the topic of statins again.
Yep.
And the recommendation was based on a total cholesterol of just under 300, triglycerides at 400,
Yeah.
And a calcium score of 105.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the answer to that is here, by virtue of the triglycerides, there's a substantial contribution of excess carbohydrates.
Absolutely.
So that right away, it tells us that this person is carbohydrate intolerant, that the carbohydrates that are eating are getting synthesized into fat. The fat is probably also depositing in her liver, and she has probably fatty liver as well. And the fat is circulating in the blood. And, you know, it's even sometimes visible where you draw the blood and it comes out looking like...
it's like a milkshake.
Well, it looks like... See, I come from a family...
It looks pink.
I come from a family where my grandparents were Polish and they used to like borscht, but they would throw like a big dollop of sour cream into the borscht, and then the borscht would turn this beautiful pink color. That's what the blood of someone with high triglycerides looks like. It's not light, bright red. It actually looks in the test tube like borscht with sour cream in it, because there's so much fat in it.
By the way.
What, the blood?
Anyway. No, the borscht with the sour.
What, are you from Transylvania or something?
No, my mother used to make it. It was delicious.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, so this person needs two things. It may be reasonable for her to go on a statin to lower the cholesterol, but here's the bath. Let's say we go on a low-carb diet, and we reduce the triglycerides from 400 to 100. which is a reasonable proposition. We see it all the time.
Yes.
Or let's pick a number. Yeah, that's divisible by 5. So 300 divided by 5 is 60, right? Mm-hmm. Mathematically, each, you can divide your triglycerides by 5. And if you lower your triglycerides by 300, that's 60, you will automatically lower your cholesterol by 60 points. So that cholesterol will come down to 240. Now, that's not perfect. That's not enough to possibly reverse cardiovascular disease. But a woman who is 72 who has a
calcium score of 105.
That's not horrendous, but it does mean that she's on the path towards cardiovascular risk. I would say she could take a statin, but it, you know, if she really wants to get on the stick with diet and lifestyle and really get religion around that, she might avert the necessity of going on the statin, but the statin could offer some additional protection. Now, the question of when Jane Jansen said you could reverse plaque, there's some nuances to that. Plaque scores generally don't decline. So if we said, oh, let's go on this wonderful program, in 5 years we checked her and we're like, oh, I'm so disappointed. It's now 190. It went up. But
because it's calcified?
Yes, because the character of the plaque changes. It becomes remodeled. It becomes less unstable. It stabilizes. Yeah. It is a more favorable type of plaque. But quantitatively, the calcium may increase. Now, this sounds a little paradoxical and counterintuitive, but statins typically, they will accelerate your plaque score. So you may say, oh my God, the plaque, it's making things worse. It, the physiology of the plaque becomes more benign, let's put it that way, on statins and with lifestyle, So we want to stabilize that plaque. By the way, you can happily go to your grave, you know, with a plaque score in the hundreds, if it's stable plaque.
Yeah.
And many people do. You know, it's the rare bird who gets to be 105 who has no plaque, you know. But it's a good sign if it's 65 or 70, you have a zero score.
Right. The other thing that'll happen, and we know, Dr. Hoppen, we've seen this too, even if the LDL only comes down negligibly, or even just stays up or goes up a little further, what's going to happen over time on a low carb? It's the particle size.
Yes.
It's going to be a nice fluffy pattern A, desirable particle, rather than a small, dense, atherogenic pattern B particle, which is what you want, Caroline, tell you for your sister. So she needs to change her diet. And by the way that statins can cause more plaque is... it messes with vitamin K.
Yes.
How vitamin K is working in the body. And vitamin K has everything to do with keeping the calcium out of where it doesn't belong, our coronary arteries, and redirecting it back to the bones.
Yes. It has a, it works in the mevalonic pathway, the mevalonate pathway, which is synthesizes CoQ10, but also synthesizes vitamin K. So, there you have... a potential issue. Actually, if you look at vitamin K, the molecular appearance of vitamin K, very similar to coenzyme Q10. It's kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that gets obliterated too.
It can get depleted. Yeah, it can. So, you know, that would argue for supplementing with vitamin K on, for statin users.
Right. And Caroline is actually asking specifically for a sister about avoiding the side effects of statins. Again, it's all about repleting the CoQ10, the ubiquinol.
Well, you know, I got to say that studies are kind of weak on CoQ10 reducing statin side effects, I have to say. You know, I've looked at a lot of the studies. I've talked to a lot of patients. Taking even massive amounts of CoQ10 do not alleviate the leg weakness and pain that's associated with statins. There is, however, a obscure supplement that has that promise, and it's called it's abbreviated GG, and I gotta, you know, because I have trouble pronouncing the word, it's geraniol geraniol It actually has the potential for ameliorating the statin side effects. Okay. I think the scientific literature on that is not that robust, but I've read some things and I haven't had a chance to try it very much. It's available from Designs for Health. It's called GG. And it's an interesting substance because it's said to potentiate the benefits of coenzyme Q10. That's the pitch anyway. And we've done a podcast with David Brady and the developer of Geraniol. And so there, that may be the ticket to enable people to take statins and tolerate them better. But you know, what you can also do, you can play around with doses, you know, you can take like less, you can take different kinds of statins and find the statin that you're least intolerant to. But I got to say this, if you are miserable taking a statin, the benefits are not outweighed by the fact that you have to commit yourself to decades of feeling uncomfortable. It's just not worth it. And there are other drugs if you really need, and there's some people who have enormously high cholesterol and they don't tolerate statins, there are now alternatives, which are the PCSK9 inhibitors, which are injectable at this point. They may develop oral forms of these. They're expensive, they're injectable, but typically they're given to people with sky-high cholesterol or people who don't tolerate statins. So, you know, if your doctor's not up on them, you know, it's like... the TV commercials, like, ask your doctor about these drugs. They will, that's a workaround.
Dr. Hoffman, what would you think of somebody who's not responding to taking higher and higher doses of CoQ10 being on a statin? What would you think of adding on something like L-carnitine, maybe some D-ribose? Do you think that might be helpful?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a good idea, but I would have to see proof that that formula ameliorates the side effects. And by the way, that thing with the statins is very funny. It's a genetic thing. And I think about 5% of statin users encounter it, but not everybody encounters it. And some people are fine. And frankly, some people, and this is how you know, some people who are masters athletes, you know, they may be in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they take statins. And I go, do you notice a decrease in your endurance or your strength? Because, you know, without pain, you might have a little diminution of your muscle function. And some of them go, no, not at all. I'm just as fast, just as strong as ever. Now, maybe they're in denial, but this is what they report, that so that it's kind of like an on-off thing where it's like either you got it or you don't, and it applies to, and it's genetic. There's some genetic glitch that makes people more susceptible to the side effects of statin. Not everybody, but a sizable percentage. And when they say, and I've heard cardiologists say this, it is exceedingly rare to see people with statin intolerance. BS. It is exceedingly common. But it's not 100%, but it's definitely not, you know, 1 in 1,000. It's more on the level of, high single digits, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Caroline, there you go. Best of luck to your sister. Your sister needs to change her diet. Those triglycerides of 400, they need to come down.
So
triglycerides that high are also suppressing HDL.
Right. But there also another way to do that is take more fish oil. Fish oil is actually a therapeutic for lowering triglycerides. But you got to take a lot. You got to take 4 to 6 per day to get that effect. 4 to 6 gel caps per day. That will somewhat lower it. But a low-carb diet, that's a tried and true. This is actually one of the, you know, home runs for us in nutritional practice is take somebody with high triglycerides. We turn that around, you know, every day of the week.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
Yeah. And there was a study you sent me recently, Dr. Hoffman, about that triglyceride lowering happened in as little as 4 days.
Okay.
Which is really something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. It's really, and it does fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
It falls down much sooner than any of those other, the other abnormalities, lipid abnormalities that are taking place. So that could take a little bit longer to normalize, but the triglycerides literally fall off a cliff.
Yep.
It's wonderful to see.
And you'll save your liver because, you know, all that fat accumulates in your liver, you get fatty liver and you get, you know, metabolic liver disease and, you know, that very serious. Mm-hmm. All right. We have time for a bonus question. Okay. We're going to be exceedingly generous today because we're having fun. And we want to indulge your patience to stay with us for another couple of minutes.
Yeah. We've got a question here from Nick. I'm on the road a lot. I eat a hotel breakfast frequently, and I understand that Sysco is the common supplier. What is your feeling about the quality of egg, bacon, sausage, potatoes that they serve? Is it processed to the point that it should be avoided?
Well, okay, so this is kind of like, how do you develop a road strategy? I mean, I think that the quality is not great, but sometimes, you know, you know the enemy of the good is the perfect, you know, so you're...
Right.
Right. So, you know, you got to eat... And so you're going to eat maybe, you know, like a kind of a iceberg lettuce salad that you get in an airport, you know, the places, they actually sell them in the places where they sell, you know, in the bookstores, you know, you
can. Yeah. Just, yeah.
And so, but you can develop a strategy for traveling, which involves, you know, maybe take a protein shake. I actually prefer the shakes to the bars because the bars are generally they're very processed. They have a lot of ingredients. They're high calorie and, you know, but in a pinch, you know, a good quality protein bar. One of the things you can do is you can get a good quality beef jerky. Now you may say, well, like that stuff is really toxic. Well, yeah, the kind of stuff that they sell in gas stations, you know, those, you know, those
right.
things that
We're
are
not-
like the, we used to have them when we were. Kids, you know, like,
we're not talking about Slim Jims. I suppose what you're referring to, right?
Exactly.
We're talking about better jerky. It travels. It travels
right.
Well. Carry a handful of nuts and seeds. You know,
yep.
Do things like that to also tide you over to get you somewhere where you might feel a little better about what you're having for breakfast. And certainly, you know, you could always inquire with that company or the hotel itself about how that food is being prepared or anything like that. I mean. Many better hotels are on top of things like food allergens or not using a lot of flavoring packets and things like
this
that.
This reminds me.
People bring a lot of adverse events.
Here's a strategy that I use sometimes when I'm traveling is I'll order a Japanese breakfast.
Oh.
And a Japanese breakfast could be like a piece of salmon. you know, it comes like in a bento box. It's for Japanese businessmen. And it's got a little dab of rice. It's got some pickles. It's got, you know, like a salmon or like maybe some, you know, grilled chicken. And it's got an egg, you know, or maybe like a little omelet kind of egg. And it's generally higher quality than, you know, what you get at the luncheonette, you know?
Right. Yeah. Great idea.
But however, since they think you're a Japanese businessman, they'll charge you $40 more at a hotel. And sake is optional, but not served before.
Not for breakfast.
Not served before 8:30 in the morning, you know, right?
Yep.
Maybe some green tea.
Right.
Yep.
That would be better.
Yeah. All right, so that's all the time that we have for today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. That was fun. Thanks for your questions.
Yeah.
Please send questions to questions@drhoffman.net. And it could be in the form of comments as well if you've had experiences. You know, maybe you've tried some of the things or you're responding to some of our suggestions. We'd like to hear from you. So questions@drhoffman.net.
Yes.
Until next week, have a safe and healthy week. Thank you, Layla.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine.
The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.